Now you guys, I've worked out that for the last 7 years and 10 months, you've been putting up with something akin to this. I've been working here for that long, and I was just wondering, are you sick of hearing my voice yet? Like, it's been a long period of time, really. I've worked out that I've given, here in this pulpit, approximately 310 sermons. And that equates to how many hours, do you reckon, of you guys just listening to me? Anyone want to work out the figures? How many hours do you reckon?
50 hours.
50 hours? Well, just to let you know, I've done the maths. I've worked it out. So taking 310 sermons and multiplying that by 23 minutes and 16 seconds, which is the average length of my last 20 sermons, that equates to around 7,213 minutes of listening to my voice. And that equals, just in case you don't know, to just over 120 hours of sermons, which equals 5 whole days. Now, 5 whole days, it might not sound like much, but really that's the equivalent of a book 2,885 pages long. So I reckon that's a fair amount of listening to my voice. So I don't really know whether to feel sorry for you having to put up with listening to me for so long, or whether actually to feel more sorry for my vocal cords, which have probably spoken around 720,000 words over this time. But I think I can say, in the whole time that I've been here, have I ever once shouted out in the middle of a sermon, "Amen"? Have I ever done that? Well, not so far, at least until just then. I admit, that's not my style. But every so often I do come across preachers who have a habit of shouting out, "Amen," in the middle of their sermon. And I often thought, why do they do that? In fact, I even think I heard a Chinese preacher do that several times during a sermon that he preached here not so long ago. Although it was in Chinese, but "Amen"? Well, close enough. Anyway, studies indicate that one of the characteristics of traditional African-American preaching is they like to generate audience involvement. So by shouting out "Amen," they're expecting a response, which is usually, what do you reckon? When the guy shouts out "Amen"?
Amen.
Amen. Everyone goes "Amen." Yeah, preach it, brother. Amen. I've got no problem if speakers want to get their audience involved by calling out "Amen" every so often. But it's interesting to compare that practice with how "Amen" is used in Scripture. And more importantly, what does "Amen" mean? Because we do use this word in English, don't we? Well, "Amen," it's a Hebrew word. But it's interesting that it's pretty much come across into Greek and then Latin and then across to various other languages throughout the world, including English and Chinese, without any attempt to find an equivalent native word or expression to capture it. Now, altogether, the word "Amen" occurs 178 times throughout the Bible. But sometimes it doesn't come out that way in our translations. In particular, when Jesus says, "Amen, I say to you," or "Amen, amen, I say to you," that is normally translated these days as "Truly, I say to you," or "Truly, truly, I say to you." In fact, Jesus probably says "Amen" more than anybody else in the Bible, primarily because those two expressions, "Amen, I say to you." But when he does, obviously we can see it's basically used as an adverb, which means "truly" or "indeed." Now, given that we come across this word in the Bible and use this word as we pray, it's worthwhile thinking about what it means and how it's used. Now, the first thing we need to think about is the basic meaning of "Amen." And an interesting passage for this purpose is what was read out for us before from Jeremiah 11, verses 1 to 5. God spoke to the prophet Jeremiah and told him to remind the people of Judah that according to the covenant that God had made with them at Sinai, Israel was obligated to obey God. And God also told Jeremiah that those who did not obey God were liable to suffer the curses of the covenant. And Jeremiah was to tell all of that to the people. And notice Jeremiah's response. What did he say? Can you see there in verse 5? Amen. Exactly. Amen, O Yahweh. And some Bible translations, they translate this as, so be it, O Lord. God asked Jeremiah to do something, and he answered, Amen. It's the equivalent of saying, yes, basically, isn't it? Yes, Lord, I will do as you say. Here we can see that the basic meaning of Amen is agreement, acceptance, confirmation. When a person says Amen, in Hebrew it means I support that statement. I agree with that. Now, taking that basic meaning of Amen, we can then look at how Amen is used in the rest of the Bible. And what we see is, typically in the Old Testament, the word Amen is most often used as a response by a person who has just had a curse pronounced over himself or herself. The classic example of this is found in Deuteronomy 27, verses 15 to 26, where Moses instructs the people of Israel about the 12 curses that they were to pronounce against themselves from Mount Ebal at the entrance to the Promised Land. They were to say things like this: cursed be the person who makes a carved or cast metal image. Cursed be anyone who takes a bride to shed innocent blood. Cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. And there were 12 of them altogether. And after each curse was pronounced, the people were to respond by saying, Amen. Now, I remember back when Eden was a little boy, probably in his first year of life, I read out this passage in our family prayer time, which we do every night just before bedtime. And after every one of the 12 curses, a little bit like what just happened now, when I read out the part that says, and the people shall say, Amen, little Eden piped up and said, Amen. For all 12 of them. It was actually quite funny at the time. But little did he know that by doing that, he was effectively agreeing that all of those curses applied to him. So be careful when you say Amen. Saying Amen to a curse is actually a very solemn act. You are accepting that the curse will apply to you if you don't do the right thing. Now, while we don't get any examples in the Old Testament of people saying Amen to any blessings pronounced upon them, I think in theory the same thing does apply. So whether it be in response to a blessing or a curse, saying Amen to it means that you accept that it applies to you. Now, in the Old Testament, saying Amen to a blessing does occur. But it's interesting that the only examples we get to see of that, they involve blessings made with God as the subject of praise. And there are quite a number of these in the Bible. For example, Nehemiah 8:6, when the famous priest Ezra blessed Yahweh, the great God, all the people lifting up their hands answered, Amen, Amen. And there are lots of examples in the Psalms in particular of amens being used at the end of a doxology. Now, for those of you who aren't sure, a doxology is just simply a technical term for words that give glory or praise to God. So, for example, Psalm 41, verse 13, it says, Blessed be Yahweh, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. So we can say that amen, it's frequently used in blessings that ascribe glory or praise to God. And this usage also occurs in the New Testament, particularly in the letters of the Apostle Paul. So just to give you an example, 1 Timothy 1 verse 17, Paul writes, "To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen." So when we use doxologies, praising God, to say amen is appropriate. And this brings us to the practice that we're probably more familiar with today, which is saying amen at the end of a prayer, right? Now, surprisingly, there aren't any clear-cut examples of this use of amen in the Bible. The closest that the Bible gets to this use is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 16, where he says that praying in church in a language that other people don't understand means that those people can't say amen to your thanksgiving. Anyway, our common practice of saying amen at the end of a prayer, strictly speaking, it isn't mandated by Scripture. But it is handy as a way of signalling the end of a prayer, and in particular, your agreement with the content of that prayer. Now, there are also a couple of other uses in the Bible of amen, which are very interesting, which are used with respect to God, and which are worthwhile for us to think about today. In Isaiah 65, verse 16, God is described as the God of amen. In Isaiah 65, God speaks about how he was going to bless those who serve him, and he notes in that verse, in Isaiah 65, 16, that those who would pronounce blessings over themselves in the promised land would do so by the God of amen. And those who made oaths in the promised land, which typically involved pronouncing curses over oneself, right? If I don't do this, then may something bad happen to me. Well, they would also swear by the God of amen. Interesting, isn't it? Once again, we have amen being used in the context of blessings and curses. But the interesting thing is, God is called here the God of amen. Now, most Bible versions, they translate this here as the God of truth. Although I'd probably opt for the God of faithfulness. It's not too much of a difference between those. But actually, in Jewish rabbinical tradition, amen is explained as being a Hebrew acronym with the A of the amen standing for God, the M standing for king, and the N in amen stands for faithful. Amen. God, the faithful king. I like that. And all of that leads nicely into the New Testament teaching that Jesus is the amen. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, we get the Apostle Paul reflecting the idea that amen basically means agreement or, in effect, yes. So Paul, speaking about Jesus, he writes in 2 Corinthians 1:20, "For all the promises of God are yes in him. Therefore, also through him is our amen to God for his glory." You see what Paul is doing there? He's playing with the word amen, really. And he's saying that Jesus, in fulfilling God's promises for salvation and blessing, Jesus is the amen. Not just amen in the sense, may it be so, But amen in the sense it is so. It is complete. Everything has been fulfilled. Through Jesus, God reveals himself as true to his word. He keeps his promises. Jesus is proof positive that God is a God who is faithful and true. Amen is important to him. And friends, this idea about how Jesus is the Amen is confirmed for us in Revelation 3, verse 14, where Jesus is called the Amen, the faithful and true witness. You see, Jesus, through his death and resurrection, testifies to the faithfulness and the truthfulness of God. The restoration and blessing that God promised his people, it finds its fulfillment and realization in Jesus. That's why he's called the Amen. So when we say Amen in our prayers, let's also remember the one who is the Amen. And finally, I believe this brief study that we've looked at today in the use of Amen in the Bible, it also wonderfully illustrates the fact that the biblical concept of faith effectively means saying Amen to the Word of God. Now, I know I've already told you this before, but it's worth saying again. The Hebrew word for faith is based on the same root as the word Amen. In other words, they're related concepts. Faith is more than just trust. Faith in the biblical sense of the concept, it actually indicates a person's acceptance of and agreement with what God has revealed. The gospel reveals to us that Jesus is the Amen, and faith is our Amen to God's Amen in Jesus. Now, I reckon that's really, really cool. A double Amen. Amen on the part of God, and we say Amen to that. Friends, normally, at the end of my sermon, I'd say a prayer right at this moment in time to conclude. At the end of that prayer, I'd say Amen. But in the light of the topic that we've looked at today, I feel the need for something special. I feel like a threefold Amen. A triple yes. In fact, I reckon we need to sing a threefold Amen right now. So I'd like to invite Sandra to come up here. And we'll play a bit of a trick on the Chinese congregation. If we can sing it loud enough, they'll think our service is finished, right? Ah, we've got them there. Okay, let's get ready. Amen. 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 Okay, thank you.